everyone. I'm Haley Allam, and this is Mom Life in Luxembourg. If you're a parent new to Luxembourg, then this is the podcast for you. From crèches to crèmes, we'll cover everything you need to know about raising kids and living your best life in the Grand Duchy. Hi, Valeria. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Haley.
Thank you so much for joining us. As you're aware, Mom Life in Luxembourg is all about living your best life in the Grand Duchy. You are based in the UK, but I feel like what you have to offer still totally applies. So we're going to talk about your business, which is called The Magic Stork, which is essentially counseling services for migrants or expats. Before we get into that, I want to hear about you. It sounds like you're Italian, but you're living in the UK, so you have some sort of migratory story. So I'd love to hear about that and what you can offer and why you do what you do.
Yeah, sounds absolutely great. Thank you. About me, yes, I am Italian, living in the UK. Before I get here, I had a few trips around the world. I lived in Spain, in the Netherlands, in Mexico, at the border between Mexico and the United States, Tijuana.
Nice.
Almost 4 years. And then from there, I moved to the UK. And then I started a family here. And I guess also put in my roots. And I'm single since then. So yeah, I traveled a bit and lived in different countries. But yeah, now UK is where I call it.
And why did you pick UK to settle down?
So I didn't pick it. Life happened. I was meant to be here just for a semester. I was doing research for my PhD and life happened and I decided to stay.
Life does happen. But so what that means is you have a PhD in psychology?
I'm trained in clinical psychology and my PhD is in social sciences with specialization in migration studies.
Did you have a really hard time moving and is that what motivated you to study the migrant experience?
There is always personal story behind what you do. But I guess I was really fascinated by far away since I was a little child. I used to tell my mom that I would go and live in Argentina or Australia as soon as I was turning 18, which I didn't. There is a fascination for everything that is far away. They say, no, there is no such a thing as... Wait, I was attracted by diversity, by languages, by different cultures. And this made me study. I started working with migrants in different capacities. I was volunteering since I was a teenager. And I started working in refugees. Those places where women stay, like in the UK, they're called refuge places, but they are like...
Shelters. They're called shelters in... Okay.
Shelters where women can escape domestic violence or they don't have a place to stay for many different reasons. Many of them were migrants and it was like a really eye-opening experience. I really liked it. And it was really challenging. For example, we had cases where we could barely communicate. It was difficult, but I also think it was incredibly stimulating. Because I realized at the time how relative the conception of health and mental health is and can be, and how we conceive what mental health can be radically different. So what is depression in country is just being lazy in another country or doesn't exist at all.
So these are women that have left their husbands and moved abroad seeking asylum alone or...
The stories can be very different. In most cases, they were migrating with their partners. And so when you are a migrant in another country and you are escaping domestic violence, your vulnerability is extreme because you don't have the network that you may have at home. And so they were completely alone and they had to start over. So that was one of the first experiences that I had working with migrants. And I knew it was the right thing to do for me. And after that, I worked with minors, with the asylum seekers and refugees. And it was during those years that I understood that there was something more that I wanted to understand. And so that's when I applied for PhD. The Colegio de la Frontera Norte in Tijuana, and I left everything and went to Mexico and learned a lot about the migrants at the border between Mexico and the United States.
Wow. That's a whole other episode that I would love to do. Huh. Okay. So you got your PhD in Tijuana. Wow. That's crazy.
Incredible.
Yeah, I bet. So let's fast forward to now. This Magic Stork company, is it for migrants in... I feel like when you say the word migrant, there's a socioeconomic assumption, whereas when you say expat, there's a different socioeconomic assumption. Are your services for both, one or the other?
Yeah, so I would love to talk about this because I believe that we still didn't really find a good label for what makes a migrant, what makes an expat. And there is indeed now this sort of expectation that when you think of migrant, a migrant is poor and is usually what you could think of as a south to north sort of migration, while an expat is somebody that has choice, often is a professional, and it could be a north to north migration. I don't really like this. It makes a distinction that is, I feel, incredibly wrong. Because there are so many different reasons why people migrate. And these are, of course, they are connected to visa issues. But I don't think myself as an expert. And I know that there are other people that may think you're not a migrant either. If you are thinking of a migrant as a person that doesn't have any economic means and doesn't have any choice to leave the country for better life. I perceive myself as a migrant, not an immigrant, because the migration is the movement that is continuous over time and doesn't have a starting point and an arrival point is that the concept of movement. And that's how I conceive myself. But we could talk about it for ages. And there are so many scholars and researchers and debates. Yeah, I just don't like too much this label. Whatever works for people, right? If people are happy to define themselves as expats or migrants, absolutely fine.
Tell me about the Magic Stork. Tell me what services you offer.
Sure. So first of all, the name, the Magic Stork, I call it like that because when we migrate, we are like cultural infants. And the stork in many cultures is the animal that brings baby to the world.
Yes.
And so even though we look like adults, we are infants in some ways.
I totally get that.
Yeah. We need to understand and learn as a lot of invisible things that we think we would know. Say, when we know the language, when I arrived to Mexico, I was told that I used to speak like a badly translated movie. And it was so funny. I had a more Spanish from Spain.
Castilian Spanish.
Now I have a more Mexican accent, I guess. And same for the English. I had a more Californian sort of accent when I was living there because we were crossing the border all the time and spending a weekend in San Diego. I would have my accent. But anyways, we're back to the Magic Stork. So the idea of the name is this. Now it's understanding all these little invisible things that we have to start over and think about and learn from zero. And the fact that we are infants at that stage.
Give me an example of some of the invisible things that you have to learn, because that was part of the reason why I wanted to start this podcast, because I came here and I felt like I could not function as an adult.
So the language is only one and is quite visible. You cannot order in a restaurant or you cannot drive and check the cartels around because you don't know where to go, right? But it's also the etiquette, the expectations, the meal times, and how your kids are expected to behave in a playground, or how clean their clothes should be in a playground things, or humor, or having fun, socializing. The list is pretty endless. It also changes a lot according to what are your interests in life, what are your priorities. So many things make a culture and a society that are heavily influenced by the language, but also by so many other aspects. And when we do migrate, we can't account for before migrating. We can expect that things will be different, but until we get there, and inevitably, there is some sort of shock, there is some sort of grief, and there are so many daily challenges and little new things that you have to deal with. And I didn't know that. Or I didn't know I would miss this so much from my country. And so all that is often when we talk about migrants versus expats, this makes us all the same in that. It's just that in some cases, of course, there are bigger issues. So people escaping war or not having other choices, of course, they have bigger problems to deal with. That doesn't mean that they won't miss their favorite food. Or the way that their friend knocked on the door and they were always welcome while in this new country they don't know anyone. So there are levels and depth of this issue. And I created the Magic Stork to make a space to explore that experience.
Such a good idea. Because all those things that you said, I felt, maybe with the exception of like how clean my kids' clothes are supposed to be at the park, but like how loud my kids are supposed to be. My husband, we have the loudest kids in Europe, and he's so embarrassed about it. I'm like, we're American. So if someone has recently migrated to a new country and they're setting up life, how can you help them?
So there are many things that can be done. My company offers services that help and assist people, individual and families, before, during and after. There is before, and I recommend people to do a preparation in different ways. Of course, it can be with mental health support, but in case that still there are many things that you can do. For example, doing some economically viable and your life allows it, to have some small trips, like trials, and see if you like it. For me, it was important to find a place where you can see the sunset, which is I love. And I look for a place where, in the new place where I move, where I can see a sunset.
Like in your apartment, you want to be able to have a view of the sunset?
Okay, so now I'm talking about some place in your new town or city. Or a spot, sunset spot.
Can you see the sunset anywhere?
Yeah, but there are spots.
So you scout.
You need to go to Tijuana and see the sunset from the beach on the Mexican side. And there is a cafe where it's like nowhere else in the world.
Oh.
I can tell you in Madrid, there is a place. That's where you need to go and see the sunset.
Okay, so that's your thing. You have to find a sunset. What if you're going to a place? So for me, it's ocean. Luxembourg is a landlocked country. What do you advise in that scenario?
You can find alternatives. You can find bodies of water that may be satisfying. Ocean is very cold, so maybe lakes and rivers could be. The experience. Understand what it is that you're after. Maybe it's that sense of freedom and carelessness that you can experience. Maybe you will find that you can have that in different environments that are not the ocean. So just go to the root of what you are in for the ocean, how it makes you feel, what, and find your ocean. wherever you are.
I don't think you can find a substitute. I really don't. It's the peacefulness and the movement. So watching the water move. I have tried to look at the leaves blowing in the wind, and it's like similar, but not the same.
There are these trees that are all over the migratory experience, and there is no easy solution. There are sometimes alternatives that you can find and substitute, but sometimes you can't, and you will miss them
forever.
And there is no easy going around it, but you can acknowledge them and know how lucky you were that you had that, and it's not gone forever. You will have that
right
again, maybe on holiday, maybe on visits, and you will treasure every second of it. It will be really special when you get to do that, and you will miss it again when you come here.
Do you think it's important to stay on mission when you start to miss things? Like, oh, I'm feeling homesick for the ocean, for example. We're here because of the job opportunity. We're here because of the school opportunity. Is that what you tell your clients?
So there is, again, never one size fits all answer because it depends on the situation. But I am quite against toxic positivity. If not, if you're suffering for something, it's a good thing to allow yourself to check on yourself and to go to the root of the issue, to see what it is and make space for that sadness that is telling you something. And according to what it is that is telling you, then you can take action. So if you are anxious to get rid of it, it will come back. And it can take the shape of a constant complaint or being irritable or other manifestation that are not really nice sometimes or unwanted. So it's better to listen to what you're feeling to tell you. And then maybe what happens once they are listened to.
So if you have recently moved abroad and you're feeling overwhelmed or irritable or depressed or homesick, this is something that you can help with.
Yes, absolutely. There are phases in everything in life. Nothing is forever. Not the good thing, not the bad things. As we were saying before, there are some things that you can do before, during, and after. Before leaving, you can do some preparations, say your goodbyes. This is something that I would absolutely recommend. And not just goodbye to the obvious, to friends and families, and maybe that dress that you will never use, or the ocean. There will be things that you will miss and you didn't know about. For example, for me, it was certain food that I didn't even know that I would miss, and I couldn't find where I went to live. When you just arrived, you can have many different reactions. Some people have the honeymoon period. They love it. It's like, oh my God, I can't believe it. It's like the best. And then they can have a down after some time. Some other people experience the cultural shock. They feel they are non-functioning adults. And sometimes their parents, so they can't really afford to have meltdown.
Or be non-functioning.
So take care of.
Yeah.
Cool. And there is, oh my God, I took this choice for all of us. So it's a lot of responsibilities. And sometimes it's, oh my God, what have I done? What have I agreed to? It's also the difference between who had sometimes for experts, if we are focusing more on experts and professional people and families, there are typical situations where there is one professional that gets a job offer and the spouse or partner that follows. The situation can be really different for both of them. So for the person having the job offer is the responsibility of the choice and knowing that is the rooting an entire family and moving it elsewhere with all the consequences of that choice. And that if they're having a bad time, it's really hard. I did have cases that it's like, I had my job offer. It was my dream job. I'm hating it here and I can't do anything about it. So
it's really difficult for them
and very useful to have a space where you can actually talk about it.
What happens if you've moved and you can't find anything good about it and you are super miserable?
Again, there is never one, and I would advise to look deeper in that discomfort, because the reasons can be very different and many. Yes, it can be the weather, it can be the lack of network, it can be so many things, but there are also so many things that can be done to change the situation. And there is also a tendency of idealizing your home country when you're abroad and you don't like it, which is not necessarily a guarantee that if you were back home, things would be all unicorn and rainbows. So in some cases, there is a need for a reality check and saying, look, maybe you would be miserable as well, because something inevitable. In some other cases, is, as I was saying, taking the time to explore first what that feeling is telling you, and then what are your options and what can be done about it. There is this tendency I heard quite a bit of people is, it is what it is, I'll have to make myself like it. But if you ignore your deeper feelings, they're not going to go away. They're going to manifest in other.
Of course.
Yeah. Again, like, it's about being curious. Having mental health support and assisting that is an act of curiosity and self-love. And it doesn't have to be seen as, oh my God, like, I have a label on myself, I have a depression or I have anxiety. You don't need to have a diagnosed condition to this mental health support. You just need to be curious enough to know what's going on within yourself and get some external person can guide you into looking into yourself. Only you can find your solution. There is no external magic that can happen, but you will have space to explore all that. And it can really make a difference once you look inside and find some of the answers. Maybe it's also being at peace with the fact that you won't have all the answers.
I totally am with you on this idea of, if you're not happy within yourself, you're just not going to be happy where you are, full stop. But is it also true that there can be like temporary unhappiness because you're going through these transitions? Like when I first moved here, I had a really hard time here. And I remember crying to my doctor being like, I think I need a therapist, by the way, where were you? And she was like, oh, I had a really hard time too. And you get over it, but go on Doctina and find a therapist that speaks English and have a sunny day. And I was like, cool, thanks.
Yes, that's exactly it. No? So there are these different phases. And you can have the hard time before leaving when you're just arrived. You could have it after 2-3 years, because is this it? Is this life forever here? That it can be so different according case to case, and also from the circumstances. There are people who change country every 5 to 6 years, and according to the circumstances, the faces can look very different. And then there is this, the return, that is another migration, and sometimes it's so filled with expectation of everything is coming back to normal, or I'm going back to the person I was, meeting the people I left 1, 2, 5, 10 years ago. And that's not it. People change. Politics have changed. The country and society have changed. And so you are migrating again, and you are having a new experience, and you have the return cultural shock sometimes. So it can be so difficult every stage of the way. That's why having a space in whatever moment you are on your migratory experience can really help to make sense and look at things with perspective. It can be that you are having a bad time because you are adjusting. And in your case, yes, I found my way around it. I started things. I am really missing the nice weather or whatever it is. And at the beginning, you don't know what are your possibilities and your options in another country. And the more you live and the more you experience, and maybe you make friends and maybe you find that one thing that really saves you, and it changes it all. So it's definitely about time, but also to make a space for reflection.
Okay, so if you are knowing that you're going to do a big move and you're feeling uneasy about it, if you've just arrived and you feel like you can't function like an adult like me, or you're having a hard time, or you've been wherever you are for a couple years and you're wondering, like, is this it? And struggling with that, you can help with all of these things. How do you work with people who don't live in the UK?
We just work online and we have video calls. And I do work with people in here as well online, because sometimes it's so much easier. London is such a big city, and sometimes it takes more than 2 hours to go to the other side of town. So yeah, we just book a meeting, easy like that, like a conversation.
Private sessions, group sessions, family sessions, what is it?
I do mostly individual sessions, but in some cases, I am getting some interest for group sessions as well. And it could be like for some people asked for indeed this expert support. And sometimes what happens is that they meet, if they are in the same area, they meet at the beginning online, and then there is a transition into real life. And then there are different things that can happen, but I've witnessed some beautiful differences.
That's nice. What about couples? And what about kids? Like, if your elementary school, primary school kid is depressed post-move?
At the Magic Stork, we have support from, I have colleagues that are educational psychologists, and they can help with that. So it's definitely an option. And families, like as a system, like it's never just one or the other. There are complex dynamics into a family. So there is also support for the whole family. And we can take into account the different complexities with different professionals at the Magic Stork.
Okay, great. Before we go, I just have to ask you, where do you go in London to see the sunset? Where's the place?
I live in Northeast London. And so there are places in the center, but they're not that easy to go to. So there is a place in Dakenham, which is in a park. And yeah, it's not, to be honest, I'll be very honest, I didn't find my place yet. And it's almost 8 years here. There is no place like, you know, those ones that I told you.
No Tijuana sunset over the Pacific in England.
Yeah.
I get that.
Also have that. There are so many beautiful places. I'm still yet to find my sunset place in London. I have a few different ones, but not that. I don't know what that means. Maybe I will still look for it. Maybe I'm meant to have money here.
Maybe. Okay. So if someone wants to get a hold of you, how can they find you?
They can reach out through my website, themagicstork.com, or they can write an email, support@themagicstork.com.
Okay, great. Are you on social media at all?
I am. So I recently and very probably currently started an Instagram and Facebook account. I'm on LinkedIn as well, but it takes so much work.
I know.
So at the moment, I'm just advertising a very local initiative for parents of children 0 to 5. I'm running a series of workshop that is a 1-year-old, and I'm advertising that on social media, but I'm not that visible because it's a lot of work. But yeah, you can find the Magic Stork on Instagram and Facebook with probably only 2 pictures at the moment. But
you're there. Okay, great. Okay, Valeria, thank you so much for being on the show. This is super helpful.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
And that's a wrap on this episode of Mom Life in Luxembourg. If you like the show, I'd love to hear from you. Please feel free to leave a comment, or better yet, share with another mom friend. And if there's a topic you'd like to see covered or you want to be on the show yourself, please email me at momlife@rtl.lu. And if you're feeling social, you can always reach me on Facebook and Instagram at momlife in Luxembourg. Thanks so much and have a great day.